Welcome to Sad Pod, where stay-at-home dads talk about their happy, sad lives. My name is David Zavaloff, and tonight I am happy to start our unofficial season two kickoff. Tonight I am joined by Brett Roberts, Tony Hernandez, and Nick Figgle. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Brett Roberts from Canada.
I'm Nick Figgle from Clearwater, Florida.
And I'm Tony Hernandez from Coastal, South Carolina.
Thanks, guys. So it's been a while since we've actually had a show. So I thought that we would sort of start off and talk about what's new in our lives and what challenges we're facing. Brett, what about you? What's new with your life?
It's been a long time since we've done one of these things. So probably a lot has changed. But we just had a third baby back in November. So we've now got three girls, one that's four, one that's two, and one that's 2 months old. So things here are busy, and there's not a lot of time to do much. And mostly I'm sleepy and looking after kids pretty much 24/7. I'm looking after the older ones. Wife's helping with the younger one, and that's kind of the new thing, I guess, the next 6 or 7 months until life kind of goes back to some sort of normality.
Brett, so new baby. What else is going on with the rest new of baby. You guys? Keep talking.
Come on, Nick. Let's see. Oh,
okay.
What's going on.
Well. I'm trying to remember the last time I did a show, but I have a daughter now. So I have almost 3 months, and then I have a 7-month-old daughter. My daughter still doesn't sleep more than 2 hours at night. So between my wife and I getting up and just, you know, anytime she gets up to feed the baby to try to get her back to sleep, I'm awake and we try to alternate. So that's really taking its toll. You know, my son, he is getting more into the temper tantrums and wanting his mommy all the time.
How old is he?
And he's almost three. He's getting up there to very close to three. But I think another big challenge is trying to balance the time between, you know, my son wanting to play or do something with him and trying to keep my daughter happy because she doesn't like to be put down at all. I have to carry her, wear her, or something. I don't think she's ever going to crawl until like she's ready to walk because she doesn't want to be put down.
Yeah. You know, my daughter did the same thing. She's about the same age as yours. She's like three in a few months, and okay, she would just wait to do something. Like she would never try to crawl. And then one day she would just walk, you know, she wouldn't really talk or she wouldn't really babble. And then one day she would just talk. It's the same kind of thing. And it's, it's emotionally exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel bad for my son too, because, you know, he wants me to do something. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm trying to keep your sister happy. Don't hit your sister, you know, stuff like that. So
what about you, Tony?
Not an awful lot. Had quite a few appointments with my son. He's got some developmental issues going on. He's got what's called sensory processing disorder or integration disorder, and we've had to have him down to Medical University a number of times to try to track down possible issues with regard to eating and other sensory situations, and almost to the point to where we've got a number of things ironed out and figured out, and so it's been productive.
Can you tell us again how many kids you have and how old they are? You have one.
He's 8 years old, going on, he wants to be 15 or 16 tomorrow.
I probably should have touched on this to begin with.
He's the only one, and we had him when most are sending theirs to college. So I will be a ripe old age.
How old are you?
I am currently 51.
Oh, cool.
And I told my wife early on, it's her responsibility to teach him to drive. I'm not doing that. I'll probably end up having to do it anyway.
So, Brett, I was having a hard time hearing you because I was having technical issues. What's it like adding a third one? We had sort of talked about this offline, but for me, I think going from zero to one was harder than one to two. But I think you were saying that going from two to three was the hardest. What was it?
No, I think going from one to two was the hardest so far. I just found that the bigger crux. Yeah, you're already so busy. It's almost just a little bit more work. But I found, like, you know, when I had one, I thought it's so much work. Then I had two, and I realized that, oh man, I was an idiot. I had so much time to myself, and you know, kids were napping and stuff like that. But yeah, I definitely, to me, the bigger life change was definitely one to two. I find zero to one wasn't that bad. I hear people like, oh, you have to change this and you change that, but I thought it wasn't so bad because they nap in the morning, they nap in the afternoon. Like, there's still a lot of time to get other stuff done. There's just one kid. You're kind of, you know, either you outnumber them or you're one-on-one. But the second one to me was the most work, I think, of anything as of yet. And, you know, by the time the my wife's back at work full-time and stuff, my oldest one is going to be in school. So I'll kind of only have two again during the daytime. So it'll make life fairly, you know, a little bit more manageable. The morning will be a little more chaotic, just dropping people off and getting people to school. But the oldest one's at school all day and the older one, or so the middle one is going to be going to preschool a couple days a week and stuff. So just be me and just the one for a couple days. So it should be, I don't know, somewhat manageable.
How old are they again?
One's turning four here in about a month. I got one that's 2.5 and then another one's about 2 months, is 2 months old today, actually.
Man, 2 months. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it just goes to show there's no universals when it comes to parenting. I mean, for me, I think going from 0 to 1 was harder. Going from 1 to 2, we had already made, when we had our first one, we were living in the city. We, you know, were I wouldn't say cool, but like, you know, we were city people. We went out a lot. We had a very small house. And then by the time the second one came, we were living in the suburbs. We had a driveway, you know, all the things that kind of make the logistics of adding a second one easier. But for me, like just going to that first one, I remember just losing my identity so much for so long. And I feel like I'm just now getting it back with the second one.
I said the second one's the hardest. I mean, mainly because I only have two. So, but I can't imagine ever having a third. Yeah. My wife went to DC with my daughter, took my daughter to DC for that walk. So I had basically 3 days with just me, you know, my son and I. And I couldn't believe how different it was. I mean, it just seemed a lot easier. I didn't have to juggle both, you know, kids, and I could dedicate more time with him, you know, and I just felt like it went a lot smoother and he didn't have as many temper tantrums and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's a constant battle when you have more than one. It's that constant battle for attention, right? You know, you gave him cereal. Oh, he got more cereal than I got. It's like, oh my God, really? Like the first thing in the morning, this has already started. There's still 12 more hours of this.
Yeah. We're in the middle of a toy stealing phase. My daughter is a little over 3 and my son is 16 months. So they're frenemies, I think would be the best term.
Mine are like that too right now. Some days they're really good. Other days they make you want to pull your hair out and grab a case of beer, sit in the basement and cry.
Yeah, it's like an abusive relationship. Like they're like these beautiful, amazing creatures that then make you want to put your head through the wall. It makes no logical sense.
Right.
Well, there's no rhyme or reason to when it happens, right? Like some days you're like, oh man, like this is... it's finally starting to take shape. Like, oh, they're being together, they're helping each other, they're sharing. And then the next day, it's like battle freaking, you know, it's like World War II in the house again. There's stuff everywhere. There's screaming, there's crying, there's blood. Like, you know, it's just,
Stop hitting each other.
Stop. Just you go to that side of the house, you go to that side of the house, and do not go near each other for the next 12 hours or I will kill you both. Sorry, was that out loud?
Yeah, totally. That's when I pull out that I think it's time for a show and we watch some Daniel Tiger or something just to calm everybody down.
Paw Patrol time.
Yeah,
you guys get Paw Patrol there.
It's what? Is it on Netflix?
I haven't let my son watch that yet because I heard that was kind of
Daniel Tiger has been our mainstay for a few years, and then he kind of went away for a little while because we had gotten sick of him, and my daughter got really into Doc McStuffins. Which he's still into, but Daniel is sort of like the first love, and my son loves him now, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. He says like Daniel, like I can't do his voice. Not 16 months, but he completely loves it, and it's a great show. Like it shows, you know, all the great lessons. It actually is somewhat constructive, but.
Well, don't ask Dave McPhee about it because Dave McPhee hates Daniel Tiger.
I know. There are so many things that are messed up about it. Like, why does he wake up in the morning and take his pants off and then go to school? Like, why are his drapes made out of a tiger? Like, he has, like, his relative hanging on his wall.
I didn't realize that.
I've never for that.
Like, what kind of tiger is a vegetarian?
We do a lot of one? Amazon stuff.
Like what?
There is a show called... I'll have to come back because I'm trying to think of what it was called.
Yes, you guys get a lot of selection.
Tumble Leaf.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. They have a lot of you know, trying to figure out things, how things work, trying to, you know, it's stop animation. So it looks really good. Lots of vibrant colors and stuff like that. So I don't mind watching that when he wants to watch that. But there's this other show on Amazon called Stinky and Dirty. It's basically a backhoe and a garbage truck. And they you know, into, you know, situations where, you know, they have to figure out how to break up a boulder in the middle of an intersection, and they're trying to figure out how to move, you know, just trying to figure out how to move it or other things, you know, within the show. But it's pretty annoying. He loves it. I can't sit there and watch it.
I was desperate the other day because I forget what happened. My daughter has been having some sleep issues and we've been just exhausted. And I was home with my son and I made the mistake of introducing him to the Wiggles.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like,
never did that.
If you could like give a 16-month-old meth and just like sit them in front of the TV and just have them stare at it all day, maybe not meth, maybe acid would be more appropriate. Mm-hmm. But it just completely captures his attention. It's like, it's such a powerful tool to have in our arsenal, but it's scary how much it you know, just captures him. Brett, I imagine all of your shows are basically like, you know, moose based or something since you're in Canada.
Moose based, polar bears, Mounties.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a very large selection.
It's all hockey, just hockey.
Yeah. Still monochrome tube TVs up here. So selection's fairly limited, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
once we get electricity and the internet, it's going to be
I mean, how much time do you have to watch TV after you go out and make, you know, tap the maple trees to make the syrup all day?
Oh, that's exactly right. It's, you know, you used to suck on the tree. Nowadays, it just saves the time.
It's a hard life.
Yeah. So, hey, what you want is a wife that can get the sap out of the tree with just her lips, man.
Living the dream.
That's a Canadian's dream.
Yeah. The hockey stick in her hand.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, God. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I have a habit of making people lose their mind.
TV shows, I think.
Yeah.
TV shows, challenges, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My kids love Paw Patrol, and then Dino Trucks is the other one. I don't mind Dino Trucks on Netflix, so it's a Netflix original. As an adult, you can sit and watch it, and it's not horrible. Like, you know, you wouldn't sit down and watch it by yourself, but as an adult, it's like, okay, well, it's decent. The animation's good and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, okay, I can kind of handle this. And Paw Patrol, I don't mind too much, but like, my kid used to watch one with this. There was a guy with a radio, and he'd set it down, and all these little characters would come out of it. And it was like, it was crazy. I can't remember what it was called anymore. But if I was high, it would be awesome. But as a sober adult, it's
creepy.
It's horrible. And every time she asked to watch that, it was just like, okay, do I kill my kid or let him watch this show? Like, because one, you know, I'm trying to figure out which one's less damaging. So she got to watch it every once in a while. But finally, she kind of grew out of it and didn't care anymore. I was like, yes. Like, when she gave up that show, it was like, yeah, I couldn't have asked for anything more than that, because I hated that show with a passion.
I feel like being high would help a lot of kids' shows.
I think I think a lot of kids' shows are thought up high. Like, you watch this stuff, you don't think about that stuff sober. Some guy's sitting in a room, toasted, eating pizza, and going, no, it'd be a good kid show, man.
Make it as much nonsensical as you possibly can.
Yeah. I want to make a reality star into the president. It would be awesome.
Oh, man, too soon.
You know, it gets better if you can direct them towards something that you know, you want them to watch.
Go ahead.
I've been fairly lucky with getting him to watch Science Channel and anything that's on Discovery or Nature, and I've been watching the recap of the Mythbusters. And then the new generation of Mythbusters, we started watching a little bit of that.
Do you like that?
The White Rabbit Project?
Yeah. I watched one and I was like...
Kinda. Yeah. I'm not really into it yet.
It doesn't get any better.
It just seemed like overly produced and just something wasn't right about it.
Yeah. The content, it's got lots of production, it lacks content.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I find it really...
There's no interaction, really.
No.
You know, it was a little bit more real when the original, you know, that you kind of believe when they were doing something.
Right.
I don't know. I think that's part of it. The other thing my son's really into is anything with dragons or fantasy, or he's
like books or just TV shows.
Both. He's a very gifted reader. So he is reading stuff at the age of 8 that I wouldn't have been interested in until I was 16 at least.
Like, wow. Lord of the Rings or something?
He's almost to that point.
Wow. Oh, okay.
He understands the storyline, and he's, best we can tell, he's probably at about the 5th to 6th grade reading level.
Jeez. Okay.
And he's in 2nd, so, which presents a lot of interesting issues because there's a lot of content out there that he's not ready for.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready grammar and wise, but he's not ready socially or experience wise.
Yeah, he's probably not ready to like jump into Game of Thrones or anything.
No, so we're real hard on not putting stuff in his hands that, you know, we're not sure about. And I've got another parent or two at school that are in a similar position with their kids. So we kind of compare notes.
No Stephen King, Dark Tower.
No, not yet. but there's a number of things that I think he is or will be ready for, you know, fairly shortly that I know I wouldn't have been exposed to quite a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So, guys, Dan Harkey is ready to come in and talk to us. So I'm going to add him in as we talk. But
okay.
Cool.
Is he dialing up right now? It's waiting for AOL to kick in.
Welcome,
Dan. Are you there?
Dan Bueller.
Does anybody have dial up anymore these days?
I don't know.
It's like AOL. Like, a shocking amount of people still pay for AOL. You know, like it's still out there, but we just, you know, I guess more in rural areas.
What is AOL specifically? Like, I've always heard of it out here, but of course, I never made it to Canada. But like, what? Is it just like a search engine? Like,
AOL was AOL? One of the first. It was almost like pre-web browser days. It was along the same lines as like Prodigy and everything, and sort of like its own self-contained internet with like chat rooms and different interest areas. And it was, you know, it was cool. Like early 90s, they kind of became really famous because they would just bombard people with these CDs for like, you know, 500 free hours or whatever time on AOL, and you would just get them in the mail. There would be in magazines, it would be everywhere. So for a long time before web browsers and everything took off, AOL was it. Like, that was the internet. And
that was your way to interact.
Yeah, dial into their servers, and they have a whole interface and everything.
Yeah. Dan, are you here yet?
Where's he calling in from?
Good question. Somewhere on the West Coast.
Okay. Oh, that's right, too. Yeah, he's out west somewhere.
So you guys, going back to the books that you were talking about, like not being ready for Game of Thrones and everything, you said your son is 8, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So a couple of you guys have kids that are slightly older than mine. And I think what I fear going forward when my kids go into like, you know, real school and everything is just how do you balance like giving them the tools that they need to be productive members of society and be responsible and everything against like peer pressure and other jerky parents. And, you know, we're stay-at-home dads, so we're pretty perfect as it is, but like everybody That's else true. Sucks, you know, like how do you protect against that? Like, that it just seems overwhelming to me, and I guess because I'm not there yet.
I think in my wife and my instances, we work real hard to allow him to have a real strong sense of himself and to develop, you know, what he likes and what he doesn't, and encourage him to express those to us on a regular basis. And we went along with a long period of time where there wasn't really anybody really close to his age that lived near us that he could play with. Mm-hmm. And then about 8 months ago, we had another family move in, and their son's about 8 or 9 months older than my son. And they kind of hit it off, and you know, there's a little bit of friction there from time to time. The other boy plays a little bit rougher than my son's used to, and we've had a little bit of friction with that and what have you. I said, well, if he's you know, bouncing on you or hit you or something like that, tell him to stop. If he doesn't, hit him back or come home. You know, I said, you know, it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you guys can't get along, just go do something else. And yeah, you know, I put a word in edgewise every once in a while if they come in the house, and because they typically bounce between outside and inside for a while, come in and play, you know, video games or what have you. And I'll just remind them that, you know, if they're playing this or that and the other, not throwing objects at each other's heads and what have you. So I don't have to deal with a trip to the emergency room because somebody hits somebody in the eye or what have you. But other than that, I think the other thing is socially at school, because that's something that I really can't affect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's pretty much there, and he's kind of had to figure it out on his own. And we did a lot of talking this year. I know last year he didn't play a lot with a variety of groups, and kind of expressed an interest that he'd like to play with more people. And I kind of just walked him through, and I said, "Well, what's preventing you? And you know, maybe you need to go and play what they're playing to begin with, show interest." And I said, "Maybe they'll want to play with you and play with you in the games you want to play." And that seemed to help him out a little bit at the beginning of the year.
I do have a quick question for you. This is Nick. You mentioned video games. So your son's 8, you said. What kind mm-hmm. Where do you draw the line? Like, how do you feel about what video games you allow him to buy, to play?
His are all 10 or below, basically. There's no graphic violence, very little, if any, language. Most of them are action-based. Mm-hmm. He's got Battlefront, and he's got a couple of fantasy-type games, and then there's Skylanders and a couple of other things. So he's got a variety of games, and some of them are pretty decent as far as problem-solving skills to mm-hmm. a certain extent. But his mom and I kind of have worked on that. I'm really reluctant to put anything in his hands that is either too graphic or along those lines at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that you shouldn't be playing shoot 'em up games if you're not driving a car,
mm-hmm.
is my basic idea of it. So,
like, no Battlefield.
No, you know, anything that's really, really dark or really gore violent.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be waiting a good probably 6 years or so, if not longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he'll get his license and a copy of Grand Theft Auto or something.
Yeah, probably about that. And I know one of his friends in Two Doors Down's a year or so young, maybe two years younger than him, and he's playing some games that I would never let my son play
mm-hmm.
at probably 12, much less, you know, 6 yeah. or so.
I always like to hear how people think about those things. I mean, I have a friend that he was playing Titanfall 2, and his daughter's like, I think 6 or something, and he was letting her try it, but she's sitting there watching the whole thing, and I'm like, man, I don't think that's a great time to be doing that.
I try to limit his amount of game time. He gets to play, you know, during the school week. A certain amount of time, and then I chase him off of it, and he's pretty happy with that. There's a mix of different things that he's interested in. He's got like on tablet, he's got some Minecraft, and I'm just as happy for him to play that from the standpoint of learning to actually create and kind of challenge himself mentally to do things on it than to passively sit back and play another game.
Absolutely.
Great. So listening to people with older kids is just, it always blows my mind. I have friends with older kids that, you know, are dealing with things like driving and boyfriends and girlfriends and drugs. And like, I can't even imagine that when I'm trying, you know, we're still dealing with diapers and sleeping. It seems like a completely foreign world. Just everything in parenting, like no matter what stage you're at, the next stage is always going to be harder. And the previous stage in your mind is always the easier one.
Mm-hmm.
Just a crazy process.
It's the unknown, right?
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, to help balance this stuff, what do you guys do to stay sane? Like, what hobbies do you do? Like, what do you drink?
Don't drink that much.
Is the word lots, is that a drink?
one thing my son and I actually do together, we have a photography club that we're members of, and we go to monthly meetings, and, you know, occasionally we do some other things. And getting him outside actually with the camera, and seeing him go from me having to continually direct him to actually take a picture to seeing him be able to actually, you know, develop into taking some fairly decent pictures on a halfway regular basis now, it's a nice shared activity now.
Mm-hmm.
I could take him, you know, either with camera or without camera, and just go walk along the beach or other places out and about, and he's always been happy to go and what have you. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that we had a friend of ours who her kids were already probably 12, 11 and 15 or so at the time. And the advice she gave us from day one was to not stay isolated. Take the kid out from the beginning, you know, day old, what have you. Take him out, go to a restaurant, go where you're going to go. Take your child everywhere with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by that. I mean, you know, my son, you know, I was going to the dentist and my son was in his carrier sleeping when, you know, he was 3.5, 4 months old the first time I went to the dentist with him, you know, and he just sat there and slept while I got my dental care done. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, it gets easier and I'm on a county board and I can take him if I need to. I can take him with me to the meeting. And he'll know whatever he has to do. He can sit there and he needs to preoccupy himself and not, you know, talk and, you know, want to be the center of attention.
Sounds good. So we have Dan Harkey joining us from the West Coast. And Dan is a stay-at-home dad. Since he is from the West Coast, I'm going to go ahead and say that he speaks for everybody in California, Oregon, and Washington. Dan, we're talking about ways that we stay sane and hobbies and interests and just how we kind of maintain our personal identity.
Well, I'd say for me, it's probably a little different than some, just because I'm also a freelance graphic designer and I have a little Etsy business that I do as well. So most of my free time is spent on that, either that or going to the gym, which can also be considered, you know, helping keep yourself sane.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely a nice little retreat during the day because they have daycare. So, and I feel like I can trust the people there to draw my daughter off with for an hour and so hour or so and actually have some free time.
So you have one daughter?
You have one daughter.
How old is she?
And one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. Due in not too long from now in March.
So how old is your daughter?
She is 3, almost 3.5.
Awesome. Probably the exact same age as mine. Yeah. It's an amazing age. And with its amazingness, it's equal parts frustrating too. But like the things that she just comes up with on a daily basis just blow my mind. And it's the age that I really like way more than the baby part. But
I hate the baby part. I can't wait for that part to get over.
With my first one, I felt guilty even saying that because, you know, it's your kid and you're supposed to, obviously I loved both mm-hmm. of my children as babies, but I need some sort of two-way interaction. Babies just don't do much for me. You know,
no, it's they sit, they poop, they...
Yeah, you trip over, they cry. You trip over all their stuff that just sits around, like the little bouncy things.
Yeah, and then they get to that age where they're like, they're well aware of what's going on around them, but they're not really capable of doing much. Like they basically mm-hmm. just sit there and that's when they require so much more attention. And that to me is like the most frustrating part. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, you can tell they just want to, like, get up and play and do things. And they can basically just lie there and look at the thing above them. It's hard. I mean, you know, I think we all know that kids will sort of take everything from you that they can. Mm-hmm. In good ways and bad. And for me, you know, over the past year, I've really tried to sort of take care of my own and carve out my own time to do things. And I don't have that much time, but, you know, I've been reading a lot more. Like last year, I read 54 books, which somehow just happened. Don't ask me how.
That's quite a few.
Wow.
And I've been getting into like woodworking and things like that and just trying to like maintain some semblance of like who I was before babies. And mm-hmm. it's hard. It's really hard.
You read about as many books as my son did. Actually, read a few more than that. But yeah, he's been challenging me to pick up my reading level. I think I'm going to have to in the future to keep up with him vocabulary wise.
I basically just drop TV and just read books.
Other than what he wants to watch from time to time, the TV's not on usually at the house.
I usually just get more annoyed at it than anything.
Yeah.
What about you, Nick? What do you do?
Well, I've been trying to. So I have I've always liked the Nissan 300ZX twin turbos. Mm-hmm. So I have one of those and I've before kids, I did a lot of work on the car, and now having kids, I can't really leave things around or have it apart or whatever, but my son loves to sit in there and pretend he's driving it. So I let him do that and I'll hold, you know, my daughter and sit in the passenger seat while he's playing around in there. So getting him interested in cars is one thing, you know, I like to do. I try to take him, to get out of the house, because I just staying in the house just makes me really irritated. So I try to get out, even if it's just, say, go to Home Depot or Lowe's or something and walk around and, you know, show them some of the tools and things like that, you know. And so I do computer stuff. So I certain things I try to show him, you know, about computers, just so that's something he's kind of involved in, because, you know, that's just going to be a great skill to have, you know. And I was looking at some of those toys out there that help coding, you know, what's that, Codapillar is supposed to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's just right now for me, it's just trying to give him more time. And, you know, since I have my 7-month-old, that's the real struggle when I'm trying to figure out things that I can kind of involve them, or at least hold her or carry her around, you know, like take them to the park. She can just kind of hang in the little ergo, you know, the whole time. She likes that as long as she's not down somewhere. But, you know, another thing is I try not to have him watching too much TV. I'll try to find alternatives or read books or something like that.
They make a couple of coding apps for Android, and I'm sure they're probably for Apple too,
mm-hmm.
that are geared towards like 3 to 5 year olds.
Okay.
And I don't remember the names. I've got them on one or two of our old phones. And it's something that my son picks up every once in a while and will actually work on. And that might be an avenue of something that you might be able to interest him in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's so many more possibilities now with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I was young and I was learning, you know, computers and I learned how to code on BASIC, like I would have to actually go take classes and talk mm-hmm. to people like face to face. And yeah, it's a whole different world.
I also just recently picked up a 3D printer, like, you know, one of the lower end ones. And I figured it's something that I build a enclosure so that I can pump out the fumes out the window or something like that. But I think that's something that would be cool for us to think of something, design it and print it out and say, here, this is what you tried to make. And we printed it out and here it is in your hand.
Which one did you get out of curiosity?
I got the Monoprice Maker Select. It's based on the Priya or something like that. I can't remember the model.
I know which one you're talking about.
But yeah, it was, I mean, half the price of building it yourself. And it works surprisingly great.
I've been trying to justify a CNC machine or a laser cutter. You know, something uh-huh. like, just my background is in industrial design. So I like, you know, that's sort of like, I you know, I know that stuff and I just, mm-hmm. I can't justify it to make toys or something, but I really, really, really want one.
My Etsy business that I have is actually, everything is made out of using a laser engraver, but yeah, they're definitely pricey. We actually lease one, which mm-hmm. is definitely a much more economical a way to go about it. But still, even at that, you have to make enough to actually be able to afford one.
And, you know, they're complicated machines and people think that you just plop them down and just, you know, start cutting stuff. You need ventilation and you have to know the software.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I want that Glowforge, the one that's coming out soon. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I use an Epilogue right now.
Yeah, I know those. And there's that, have you guys, those that are into it, have you seen that Shaper Tools CNC router?
Mm-hmm.
That thing looks amazing. Like it's you'll have to check it out if you're into that kind of stuff, but it looks absolutely incredible. You know, staying up on that is something that helps keep me, I feel like, somewhat current. But I can totally mm-hmm. see how in a few years I'm going to be the old, you know, out of touch dad who doesn't understand anything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't understand Snapchat. I don't understand how that works. Like the interface.
I don't understand Twitter.
Yeah, the interface is just terrible to me.
From what I see, you're not missing anything.
I've never used it.
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me.
Which is Instagram?
No, Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat. Like, I have no idea what the hell it is. I've never even don't have it on my phone. I've heard of it, but I've never used it. Never downloaded it. I have no clue.
Me either.
So, Brett, what do you do to keep yourself sane?
I used to ride my motorbike, but I sold it this spring, so that one went out the window.
What did you
and,
have?
I had a GSX 650F, like a sport tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I sold that, and then, out here, I've been, like, I guess, you know, a few buddies go and just go do random things, go for beers, or just go hang out, and then I also am one of the directors of a dad club London here in our local city. So we have about 2,500 members. So we do events and workshops and stuff like that here locally, and merchandising and stuff as well too, to help raise money for the club. So that kind of is my other off, my other work when I'm off the other job. So it's that alone keeps me fairly busy. So
it sounds like you have a pretty good community, and community is pretty important to you.
Yeah, well, here, when I first moved, I just moved here about 3.5 years ago, so I didn't know anybody when I got here. And then staying home with the kids, it's not like you're at work and you're going to meet people, right? So that was kind of my way of getting out and doing something. And so we got in with a few other guys that were, there's a guy who started the club, and he had about, I think when we started, about 300 and some members. And then we went from 300 now to about 2,500 in the last 2 years. So yeah, so we've been doing a lot of work, with, you know, obviously to get to that level, with a lot of work to recruiting and getting new members, doing, trying to keep things active so people want to be part of it, and you know, trying to secure advertising and funding and stuff like that to do, add more value to it and stuff as well. So that that itself has been fairly full on the few nights that I am free, kind of thing. So that's think, mostly what I do, really. That's it.
I think community, it's been my ongoing number one challenge, just finding other stay-at-home dads, being able to connect with them.
I agree.
You know, it's just, I've been at this for 3 years and I still am having such a hard time with it. And there's a local dads group, but the Philadelphia area is just so big that, you know, somebody could be in the group and be an hour and a half away from you. Like, it's impossible to line up schedules. And, you know, I told some of you guys when we were chatting the other day that I've reached out and tried to join some of the local moms clubs just to, like, I need something, you know, I need somebody.
Yeah.
And just
some social interaction.
Yeah. Connecting with other parents, you know, especially stay at home parents, would be, I think, hugely beneficial. But it's by far my number one challenge right now.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, out here, when I moved here, you know, I didn't know anybody, especially stay-at-home dads. So when I got out here and I joined that club, I met two other dads. So we used to get together and, you know, we'd have play dates, or, you know, have the kids over and hang out for the afternoon, have a couple beers and have barbecues and stuff like that in the daytime, which was kind of what made the days a lot easier. When we first got here, it was fairly, once my wife went back, you know, went back to work after the first one was born, you know, you're kind of left on your own, left your own devices, and there's no one to talk to and no one to do anything with, and it gets fairly boring and fairly you feel like secluded pretty quickly. And you need somebody to BS with and somebody to talk to, and you got to find something like that, I think, to maintain your sanity.
Yeah, you know, being a stay-at-home parent, no matter what your sex or gender, it's just, it's somewhat demoralizing. It's a big hit to the ego. You know, it has a lot of upsides, but in terms of that stuff, it's definitely, you know, can hurt.
And cultural that, norms.
Too. Yeah. And, you know, I think that depends a lot on where you are. But yeah, I think just finding community is, it's overwhelmingly hard for me right now. And it's something that really, really would help.
Yeah, no, I definitely find the having the dad club here is nice, because we do every once a month we do dad beers. With, you know, in the summer especially, we have lots of different play activities where some of the guys who ask for stay home dads will organize something on a weekday, and, you know, some of the guys just might be home with their kids that day, or some, you know, there's only a few of us stay at homes, but we still get decent sized groups going out to play parks on the weekends. Like, if we do a weekend play park, it's not uncommon for us to have 30 or 40 dads take over a playground. Wow. And basically where, own that thing.
Where in Canada are you?
London, Ontario.
What's the housing 7 hours like? From you.
Yeah, maybe I should move up there too.
Cheap, man. Yeah, like we our beer night. So we do one beer night a month, and we actually now have started having pubs and bars come to us asking us to come and ask them what kind of discounts that they could provide, because usually we're anywhere between 30 to 50 guys on a weeknight. So that's, you know, if you got a small pub, because we're 2,500 guys in total, so that's a small percentage. But yeah, we bring out, you know, when guys come out, we come out. We don't cause problems. There's never any fights. There's never any, you know, drunken idiots or anything like that. People come out, they have a few beers, everybody sits and chats. There's kind of like the regulars that always come, and there's always new guys that come here and there. And, you know, it's a good social gathering. We have some guys who use it as a bit of a work thing too, like they pick up leads or whatever, I guess. But for the most part, we always tell guys, it's not about, if you're here just to look for business, you're in the wrong group. You should move on. Like, they'll come if you're good at your job or whatever, they'll come naturally. But that's kind of, you know, this is about hanging out with other dads and enjoying yourself and picking up some knowledge and helping each other out when you need it. And that's kind of like the brand we've built up here now. So
yeah.
So we should all look into housing there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cheap. London's cheap, man, compared to most cities.
Yeah, I created a Facebook page, and I've been looking for people down here in Clearwater, and I only managed to find one guy over the last year and a half. And I've been down here in Florida for about 3 years. My wife grew up in St. Petersburg, so she always wanted to come back down here. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, so that's far away from all my friends and stuff. So yeah, I the isolation and not knowing people and having a hard time finding people.
Did the group you start now, you just start as a stay-at-home dad or just a dad's group?
Basically, yeah, stay-at-home dad's group. I mean, really, it's anybody that's kind of available at different times, you know, and spends a lot more time with their kids than anybody else. I don't really care, you know. I just had to give it a name.
I think that's a big, if you're looking to get to, with people and especially other dads, I think that's a big drawback. I know we found that is having, as soon as you put stay-at-home dad, it makes other dads like, okay, well, I can't join it. And they might even be dads that spend a lot of time with their kids, but once they feel like, okay, well, no, I have a job or I have whatever, right? And they seem to limit themselves that, no, that's not part of me, or I wouldn't fit in this group. But I think, like, for us, if we're 2,500 guys and growing at, you know, quite a quick rate. If we were to say, if it was not just Dad Club London, if it was stay-at-home Dad Club London, we'd be six guys. That'd be it.
Okay.
Do you find that there's any like friction or tension between dads that have jobs and dads that stay at home?
Not that I've noticed, no. Like most of the guys seem to hang out, and the guys who get along, the ones who, everybody seems to find their little groups that they get along best with. And, you know, no one's ever said anything, no one's had any problems. And a lot of the dads are like, oh, I'd love to stay at home. Or some of the dads work night shift. And yeah, they work, but they're home during the days, or they work the weekends and they're home 2 or 3 days a week. And they want people to go hang out, especially other dads, right? So they might not be stay-at-home dads, but they're available 3 or 4 days in the weekdays, and they want that interaction too. So I think once you put the stay-at-home dad, you're limiting yourself to such a small group that if you're just looking to meet some other dads to do stuff with, you just drop the stay-at-home part. And, you know, Dad Club Clearwater would probably pick up you a lot more people. And there might be different people you'd see stuff on different days, but hey, it would greatly increase your social network.
I'll probably just create another group and just see which one builds better.
Yeah, like literally, man. Like when Jeremy started this one, there was only a few hundred people, and we got the name out simply by doing free cheap things. Like we'd go and make a donation at a local radio station who was collecting money for something, and then of course they'd put you on the radio, and your name would get out, and all of a sudden you get a bunch of people applying to get in on a Facebook group, and then their friends are, and just like it kind of just very very grassroots, but just went so quickly. That we went, from like 300, 2,500 within a very short time period, and went from like nobody knowing who the hell we were to if you wear one of our sweaters to the grocery store or Costco or something, it's pretty uncommon not to run into another member now and somebody go, hey, who are you? And, you know, what'd you go to? And like, we went out for lunch the other day, a few of us admins, to just go talk about a new seminar we're going to put on for some of the guys. And our waiter turned out to be one of the guys in the club. you continually run into people. Like, I think that just get rid of the stay at home part and see what happens. I think that would probably land you a lot more people, a lot bigger social networking area or social circle that you'll get to hang out with people in.
Okay.
Well, I think I'm inspired to try something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dad Club Philly. Come on, you can affiliate with us. We can you can be our affiliate in the US.
you're more rude, somewhat southern, you know.
Yeah.
Sister thing.
You guys can be a numbered company. We don't want to assume any liability.
Philly is known for its hospitality and warmth for outsiders.
Like New York.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, no, it's getting to be a little late, guys, so I think we should probably wrap this up. Does anybody have any other words of wisdom or anything that they want to share before we go?
No, I'm too tired to share anything.
I'll address the social isolation to a certain extent, because I live in an area where traditional values are still kind of the norm, and you kind of just have to tell people mentally to go at piss themselves off. You know, kind of. Yeah. You kind of have to develop that attitude that you're just going to go about your business and not really give a shit what anybody else thinks. And basically, when I finally got to that point, I'd like to have a few more people that understand and at first hand what I do and what have you. But if they don't come, then it's okay because it still continues.
I do have to say that, you know, wearing my daughter and you know, having my son hold his hand while we're walking into the grocery store and stuff like that, I feel more alive or more proud, I'd say, than, you know, some people say, you know, wearing your kid, whatever, you feel weird or something. Like, I don't feel that way at all. I feel like, yeah, look at me, I'm juggling these kids. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You know,
like we have some sort of superpower or something.
Yeah, right.
No, it is. It really, because I think one of the biggest things that I know I'll never have to say to my son that my dad said to me is, I'll never have to tell my son, I wish I'd had more time to spend with you.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to get to the point soon where he's like, I wish you'd spend a little bit less time with me, but it's not to that point yet.
I keep telling myself that nobody looks back in 50 years and regrets spending so much time with their kids, you know? So
true.
Like we're all very lucky to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay-at-home dads haven't been around long. You never know, that might be a point where you might get to older and say, man, I wish I would have done more.
Man, you guys really took everything from me.
Yeah. You know what? I used to have a life. I had fun. And then you guys came.
So much more gray hair now.
Yeah. Yeah. I look like I'm 80. I'm 41.
Talk about gray hair.
Yeah. That's why I don't look pictures of me anymore. On that note, I want to thank you guys for hanging out tonight. This was fun. And everybody, I want to remind that our official season 2 will be starting soon. So please stay tuned for the season 2 kickoff and check out all of our other podcasts. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just another ordinary, typical day. Me and my daddy gonna go out and play. I hope my baby sister down.